All right. Welcome to Just Testing the Vibes podcast. This is your girl Tessa with my special host,
Naja Lee. You know what it be.
In a place to be. Okay, so welcome and happy Memorial Day to you people. It is 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time where I reside, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to do a little bit of, what are we calling this? We're calling this our point of view, our show's point of view, right?
Our POV.
Our POV, okay? And the show we're going to be talking about today is Citadel.
On Prime.
Okay?
TV.
On the Prime. So, before we jump into that, please do have your notifications on. If you're not following, follow. Make sure you go check out. The latest episodes of Just Testing the Vibe. The last one was The Art of Price. Written and spoken by moi.
Yes.
Produced and recorded by she.
Hello.
And we have so much more in store and coming. Make sure you also go to any streaming platform and check out the what?
Not for profit. Volumes 1 and 2. You heard.
Okay. You missing out if you ain't already peeped it and downloaded and saved it and put it on repeat. Okay. What else?
If y'all are not aware, Just Tessa and the Vibes podcast is connected to a lot of dope curated content. So if you are looped into JTTVP, you should be all the way up on knowledge with everything we have to offer, including music, including apparel, including books, including all of our YouTube and everything. So
talk about it.
Let's go. Like, we outside, we just waiting for y'all to pull up to the picnic and join us. Yeah,
we trying to make sure we be inclusive,
you know.
Okay,
inclusivity,
but you know, there's only so much we could do. We can lead you to the web, but we can't make you drink.
Hello.
So like she said, you see one, you see the other. Okay, if you follow on social media, all the links is in my bio. Okay, make sure you click it, make sure you go peep it, make sure you're sharing it, make sure you're doing all that good shit. If you're not, then you know, whatever, you'll be left with the win. But nonetheless, make sure you stay on top of it because there's so much shit dropping and coming and it's not going to stop. Duly note.
Let's go.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about Citadel.
From you our say point of view.
From our point of view. Okay, so if you're coming over here, this is where we what? Talk our shit, but we mind our business. Okay, we talk it from our side of the world, our side of the car, our side of the street, our side of the bed, the chair, whatever. That's where we talk about it, okay? If you want me to give a fuck, I just don't have it, okay? So, do you want to start off? No, you know what? I got it. I'm going to start off.
So, first and foremost, this is our disclaimer. If you are not caught up with the show Citadel on Prime TV, up to date as of episode 6, we're going to warn you now to press the pause, get caught up, and then swing back to the episode. There may be a few spoilers here and there. We don't want to ruin it for anybody who is not caught up. But for those of us who are caught up all the way through episode 6, waiting with great anticipation for episode 7, welcome to the party. Let's get it started. Our POV, we going to go ahead and break down Citadel. Let's go, Tessa, and let's give us the backdrop.
Okay. Thank you very much. So, like she said on the line, hit the pause. Okay, don't blame us because we brought some shit to your attention that you did not even, you know, you didn't listen. Okay, so if you haven't already peeped the number one trending show, Citadel in the U.S., do so immediately. It's on Prime. But please note, if you are not one of those that are into following a story, this may lead to being a bore for you. Okay, it's not just action. It's not just people getting shot or thrown from something. It's also a story. It also showcases love interest. If that's not something you're into, just check out.
Continue. That's good advice.
Action is not the only factor of this show. Citadel is about a global spy agency that has fallen and the memory of its agents have been erased. Now the powerful Manticore crime syndicate is filling the power vacuum. Citadel agents must remember their past and find the strength to fight back. Just reading that and listening to it, it's really light.
It's light.
It's light. But
it's interesting, but it's light.
It's light.
It doesn't really give you much to really like bite off.
Yeah, you know, okay, so we got this great, in a way, shining this agency that's in the light, and then you got this villain, you know, this villainous agency or syndicate over here. You know, some typical things.
Yeah.
But it didn't say anything that grabbed you. Just like, oh, okay, well, shit, somebody's beefing. Mm-hmm. So, we have main characters Nadia Singh and Mason Kane, a.k.a. Kyle Conroy, or Kyle Conroy, a.k.a. Mason Kane.
Yes.
So, would you like to jump in here?
No, you're going to... Oh,
okay, well, let me...
We're going to introduce how we kind of do our POV. So, mm-hmm. This is our first POV, flow with us, and the next mm-hmm. one you'll see the layout. We're going to introduce it, we're going to give you our pros and cons, we're going to summarize it, and then we're going to tell you to, go ahead, watch it, and then join us in our comments mm-hmm. on the page when we post our pros and cons. And that way, if you agree, disagree, want to add to it, you know, let us know. We're a community here, okay? We're not talking at you, we're talking with you, okay? Yeah. We need you to chime in, folks, here, okay? You know, communication is a two-way street, okay? This is not a lecture, okay?
Not a lecture.
This is me talking to you, and we need you to talk back.
Talk back.
Okay, some pros. One of the pros is the character development, okay? Mm-hmm. We're going to see. She's going to go into the main characters, but one of the pros, it's layered and it progresses smoothly. Mm-hmm. They only provide the viewers with necessary details that enhance the plot. Mm-hmm. So they don't give you too much about the character too soon, too early, too much of the character's past, too much of the future or whatever. They don't give you anything really. They just kind of like spoon feed you bits and pieces of the character.
Okay.
So that being said, the characters have to be very strong characters for us to know very little about them, but still be pulling up every week to and eager to know.
Yes.
Like, so.
And it's about a 50-minute show.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's about a 50-minute show. So they do just enough to get your palate wet, mm-hmm. but really not fully satisfying you. It's mm-hmm. really like an appetizer.
Yeah.
They never really hit you with the full entree. So yes. You can go into Mason,
okay.
the main characters, and we'll go in and highlight some of the pros that we like about the main characters, some of the cons, and then we'll continue and tell you about more of the show.
Thank you. So we're going to give two points of views here. Like if you're having a conversation with a friend or whatever, just having a conversation and going back and forth. So this is from my side of it. And let's make it clear, we both have a collective agreement in what we're saying, but I took down and wrote it from the other side of my point of view. Now here, first let's salute that Nadia is a badass agent and a main character, considering she is a woman of color, okay? And she is a woman, okay? She's a woman that's a main character, that's a special agent. Like, what are we doing here? Okay, so let's give it up for her. Thank you very much. Now, who is Mason Kane? Who is he? He's an agent, lover boy, badass, orphaned.
Yeah.
And he gives a lot of mysterium.
Yeah.
I feel like he gives a lot of mysterium, and he very rarely shows emotion unless it's dealing with Nadia.
Yeah.
Will Mason and Nadia retrieve the little girl?
So hold on, before we get into that. So more about the Nadia as the character, and Mason Kane as characters. Not only is Nadia, you know, minority and a woman of color, that's very important in TV and film,
mm-hmm.
simply because as viewers, you know, viewers are diverse, mm-hmm. and TV likes to whitewash and make sure that every character looks the same.
Facts.
So it could tell their story, but not understanding that your story is not fully actualized if the viewers don't see themselves in the plot.
Facts.
So if I'm a viewer and I'm always watching, especially this segment of TV, spy, you know what I mean? High level government informant, things like that. Typically those are always played by what? White characters.
Mm-hmm.
No shade, but at the end of the day, we're talking about people having the ability to infiltrate any room, you gotta be a minority. Let's be clear. Most of the rooms where the thinking is happening, those rooms are consisted of predominantly white people. They would make you believe that. But if we know the demographics of the world, we understand that the world's populations, they are the minority.
Yep.
So that being said,
and have been that way.
And have been that way always. So that being said, why not TV start to portray the world that we actually live in and not this make-believe world? And by her Nadia being played by Priyanka Chopra, we all know her. She played in Quantico. So if you kind of follow her career, this is definitely right up her alley of what type of the typical roles that she would play. Not to put her in any box or anything, but because I think she's a brilliant actress. But this is like something that is on par with her past. So that being said, like, she already comes in representing a certain demographics just in TV and film anyway. And by us seeing her lead this role at a high level, like, we try to, I think it's human nature to try to see who else could play this role. You know what I mean? Like, this is a starring role. And she's the, not only just the main spy, like, she's the biggest spy. She's actually better than Mason Kane, actually.
Yeah.
And she's also the romance interest. So usually that character isn't played by the same woman either.
Yep.
It's usually his love interest is some beautiful attraction over here, and then it's, you know, the person that he's always meant to be with, which is his, you know, his co-star.
They kind of messed it around a bit.
Yeah, they kind of like flipped it.
As they went on, you've seen how they played that out.
Yeah.
So it's like they gave him that in his other self.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's the dope part when we talk about the characters. Like, for us to not know much about them, they keep layering these bricks, and brick by brick, and when they start to build up the overall, you know, outline of this character, and interweave that with the plot. And I think they just do that at a high level with Nadia and Mason Kane. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I like Mason Kane too as a character, but we have some cons with him that, you know, I don't know if you want to go into now or later.
I was just going to say, because I want to jump into episode 6, so we can do pros and cons.
Yes, let's do the pros and cons. Let's do the
pros and cons.
Okay, so I'm going to do another con about Nadia. So for as strong and as aggressive and assertive, she's like that all woman, like, survivor woman prototype that you think about in TV, like that woman who has faced mad odds and was able to persevere, and
she went through a lot.
Yeah. And what we see with those type of women is that you become the ultimate woman when you can kick a man's ass, right?
Kick a man's ass.
When you can, like, drop a dude, whether that's by gun or by hand-to-hand combat, it's like, yeah, that's the woman. And so we see that with her. Like, we see her fighting men, we see her getting the scuffles, we see her getting manhandled, we see her handling men, right?
Facts.
What we don't see, whether it's in training, because we don't know about how she became a spy, we don't see her having any issues in her past with women when she was a child, when she grew up. Like, we see nothing. Now that we are in her adult life, we still don't see her with any opposition with women.
It's like they made her a loner.
Yeah, and I think that that's kind of odd, considering in every other spy film that you're going to see that a woman is in, or any high-level female agent, she's got to fight a woman. Like, what do you mean? Like,
something just dawned on me, too. Please do continue.
And it just seems from that, you know, what's the relevance of her physical encounters and combat and aggression always being at the hands of a man? So then I go to think, as a writer, what am I trying to suggest, or what am I trying to portray? Is my pen patriarchal? Is a question that I have. Like, why would they always make her either taking a blow or giving a blow to protect herself from a man. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. You know what I mean? I like that you can protect yourself.
Yes.
I'm a woman who knows how to fight as well. But every day that I walk outside my house, I do not want to have to fight nobody that I stand to actually lose that fight with. Mm-hmm. Statistics will say that usually if a woman is fighting a man, that woman is going to lose. They don't care if you are Ronda Rousey. Honestly. Get to fighting a man you're if you get want your to. Ass exactly. Because usually you're going to fight a man that's on your level. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is. So just like with this show, she's fighting high level spies, right? Mm-hmm. On my level, I'll be fighting whoever I'm working with, wherever mm-hmm. environment I'm in. So that would be on my level. I'm not about to be fighting no high level spy. I don't know where they at. I'm regular. You know what I'm saying? I go to Walmart. They ain't going to Walmart. You know what I'm saying? And if they are, they ain't gonna tell me. They a spy. You feel me? That's what they do. So that being said, you know what I mean? I think that that's a hole in the story writing. But as Tessa would say, I think she's gonna tell you why she kind of highlights that that dominant trait in her as a woman, as a protector and a survivor.
Thank you. That's absolutely true. As she said, we're women that know how to protect ourselves. And I'm a big fan of women knowing how to protect themselves. And it's a necessity. Okay. So I was over here listening to her pros and cons, and it made me think maybe that she's fighting these men because we always have to fight men. Okay. No matter what we do, no matter what place we want to hold, we always have to fight men. That's just a fact. Please don't get in your feelings. Two, thinking more into the show thus far, her father is a terrorist.
Yeah.
She most likely grew up on a compound with men. Probably her combat training was men. Then she got into agency, men. So maybe they're showing there is no women because there is no women. When she came up, she doesn't have any siblings from what we can tell. And her father and her was pretty much, they did this together. You know, she was brought up by her father. We didn't see no mother or nothing. So maybe that is written that way to highlight she is a loner. Right. She is a loner. She's always had to protect herself. She always had to think fast on her feet. And who most likely you're going to have to do that with? Men.
And my only pushback to that mm-hmm. would be that if a woman as a child and throughout her adolescent really has very little exposure to mm-hmm. women and to the femininity that women bring.
And this is thus far episode 6, okay?
It's episode 6, all the way through, guys, yeah. Which I said in the beginning.
We're not sure how many episodes come in still, but this is just thus far.
Yeah, so if she has been raised to not really have any exposure to mm-hmm. men, I mean to women, but also be in this very high patriarchal, heavy, violent, militant lifestyle, mm-hmm. then why is she so feminine? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She is very high femme, high glam, high mm-hmm. sex appeal, high. So the reality of that being the case is not practical. It's not logical at all. Because if a woman is trained in that environment and doesn't have any exposure to femininity, mm-hmm. she would not be this sexy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's what I say as far as the pen, the patriarchal pen. Because if that was the case, she would be like every other spy, like a girl with the dragon tattoo, like every mm-hmm. other female high.
Because it definitely is possible for you to learn parts of your womanhood and your femininity not being around a lot of women. But the way that they, once again, as you've highlighted and I agree with, they're writing it to where it's just not realistic.
She doesn't even have a mom. Any
woman whatsoever. So the only thing that they could even suggest is that she learned the navigations as she got older on how to be in her femininity. But once again, we're not that far in. So we should have already gotten some type of woman around her. Some type of inkling. That's a con to the show, is that you're spacing all this stuff out on some things that just can hit right now. It doesn't have to wait to episode 6. But once again, the part, because I was going to say before you mentioned her being able to be in her femininity, and she has a sophisticated look, she has this style, this whole class about her, and not showing any women. I was going to say it's very possible to be brought up around predominantly men and be just that. You can really take on their traits and their personalities and still be in your femininity because you know who you are and what you are. But at some point, there's going to be some note of a woman. And we just have not got that thus far. So they've done it an injustice and a disservice to the show and to the character. And if the only thing that we're going to be able to take away from is that she's a badass woman and a badass woman of color, we're still going to have to get back to why she's still being suffering trauma. Or sometimes it seems like she's being impacted still by some type of pain. And yeah. Once again, is by men. So that's what I was going to say on that note.
And see, and that's when we talk about the pros and the cons. Another con for me is the sum of the holes in the character development. Because, for instance, we talk about Nadia. At what point are we introduced to how they became a spy? Mm-hmm. Like, that's never...
They only focus on Mason.
That's never... And we still don't know mm-hmm. how he became. We know why he is the perfect spy. But we don't know how he became a spy. And so, anytime you're watching any spy films, especially, let's stick to TV, because mm-hmm. the beauty about TV is that we expect more character mm-hmm. development. We have more time.
You have we that have, at your disposal.
Right. So we have, instead of having a 2-hour movie, which is mm-hmm. a long movie, or an hour and a half movie, we have our shows. Mm-hmm. And this series is probably going to be, if it's prime, it's probably going to be 10 episodes mm-hmm. this season. So that being said, why don't we know anything about how they became a spy? If you look at any female spy, they are trained specifically by a woman outside of combat stuff. Mm-hmm. They are trained by a woman mm-hmm. to how to infiltrate the presence of a man. I don't care about mm-hmm. you knowing how to fight. You need to know how to get next to a man, mm-hmm. and that's something that is taught by a woman. So how do we not know that she got an OG?
So needless to say, they spent the first entire season creating this character that has all these great qualities as a woman being in a world of men. But they have not given us anything about her womanhood, or where she, what type of woman she is, just that she'll kick ass.
Yeah.
And that she has a high level of intellect. So they spent the whole first season making that the only point. And so we're going to leave this season with no knowledge of wherever the fuck she come from. And how the fuck she get there.
And conversely, we know so much more about Mason Cain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And about once again, his past.
They've made a man a focal point as well, even though she is, like you said, even better than him at times.
Yeah.
But he's still the one that has a controlling factor here.
Well, and they introduced her the first episode as mm-hmm. being the top spy.
Yeah.
She was the top spy.
And so this came in the picture. He came in and was like, hey, welcome to the party.
You know what I mean? So. Yeah.
So we'll be going into season 2 whenever that comes about with still lingering questions. So, like I said, thus far, they've done a disservice to the show. Not saying the show isn't a good show, but where it could be better.
It's a great show. It mm-hmm. just has a couple little gaps.
Tweak it.
Yeah. Another pro, because I don't want to labor too much on the cons, because they do mm-hmm. have a lot of pros. One of the other pros is, by it being a TV series, it doesn't look like a TV series.
No,
it's actually shot and filmed in the very cinematic style of directing, very slow camera movements, dark, low contrasts, very moody. Mm-hmm. So this is very on brand from what you would see in a film versus a TV series. That being said, its moodiness is dramatic. It's overly dramatic at times
mm-hmm.
With the story, with some of the details that they did to add to Mason Cain's background that you wanted to talk about his mom.
And how
they just threw that in there. So that's a con, and she's about to tell you that this was not a good look for us.
I'm diving into episode 6 because I got questions and I want to have the conversation. So in episode 6, we have all this. We have action-packed. We have the drama. We have the heart-racing, pounding moments. We have even a wow factor. But I felt like we still didn't get anywhere. I think we can mutually agree on that.
Yes.
So in episode 6, there was a mission. And my question that I posed for episode 6 was, will Mason and Nadia retrieve the little girl, Asha?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So here is a spoiler. Asha is Mason and Nadia's daughter. Okay? So in this mission, two people who have a child, one has a child and the other is unaware of that child until now. How will this mission go? How will it succeed? That's where we route ourselves to Manticore, okay? Manticore has a head. The only face we've seen is a syndicate, but we've only seen one face. We've seen a lot of foot soldiers, but we've only seen one head, and that's Dahlia, okay? And Dahlia, as we come to find out in closing of episode 6, is Mesa Kane, Kyle Conroy, you know, people got their memories wiped, they got to get it back. Is his mother, okay? So that raised a big concern for me with this show and with this episode that I had to give a lot of feedback in. So we come to a part where him and Dahlia are having a one-on-one conversation in her home. We, throughout this entire season, have not gotten any impression or inkling that these two had any relations. Not right. as a being together, not as family, not as being at war, nothing. They've only led that Dahlia doesn't fuck with Citadel and Mason Core is with Citadel.
Yeah.
We come into episode 6, and mind you, she just pointed out we haven't got any background on who these people, how did they become a spy, okay? But we, all of a sudden, in episode 6, we're getting dropped this wow factor. It was a nice wow. Oh, wow. But we're getting dropped this factor that the head of Manticore that we've known thus far is his mother. Okay? Like, what?
Yes.
But you never even... We didn't see no memories, no nothing of them ever sharing anything. Okay? We seen flashbacks. We heard a brief statement or two, but never anything that gave the impression that she was the mothering type. So is this a nice wow factor or was it predictable? Because watching it, that's how I felt. I felt like, okay, well, I kind of called that, but why didn't we get some information before?
Right.
And I don't have any reason, to me, that you would do that, unless it's just poor writing.
And so, and to clarify for the viewers who haven't seen it, it's not predictable mm-hmm. until we're actually in that scene, in mm-hmm. that conversation, and then moments before the wild drops, they drop a breadcrumb, which kind of makes you mm-hmm. believe, like, huh, could mm-hmm. that be his mom? And then about two sentences later, you know what I mean? That's confirmed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, the story, as Tessa is saying, the story, it progresses and they'll throw some things in there to make it seem like you're getting far along mm-hmm. in the story until you realize at the end of the episode, you really haven't accomplished anything. Like, you're really not much further than you were the past episode. You mm-hmm. haven't, you're still walking away with questions, like
so many,
and it could be a trick to get you coming back to the next episode because you think every episode they're going to answer questions from the last episode, and mm-hmm. really what they do is give you more questions. So by the end of the series, I don't think we would have answered anything besides the fact, oh, Mason will have, he has his memories back, but will he act on those properly? You feel me? So that's another issue, you know what I mean, with the story. Because they give you these tidbits and these little bites, it's being overly dramatic. It is adding too much sentimentality and it's not giving you enough action, enough fighting, because these are high level, highly trained, top of the top spies. They place Citadel above CIA, above FBI, above MI5. These are the guys and the ladies that they outsource when mm-hmm. the CIA can't get the job done, when the MI5 can't get the job
done.
It
seemed like Citadel was the Rockefeller of all of this. You feel me? They were who these people answer to.
Exactly.
That's the impression that they gave, like, we are the top of the top.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. They bigger than all your biggest agents and the agencies that we know of. They hire them. Okay? Mm-hmm. So if that's the case and they are so highly trained, then why don't we see what they can do executed properly? Like, mm-hmm. why don't we see more combat, more fighting, more? And see, that's the thing. That's what I said. Why isn't Nadia fighting women? I don't care if it's just a scuffle when on a mission, you gotta punch a couple broads on the way. Like, all of this kind of dead space where they're manufacturing the drama, but they won't manufacture the action. But we have all these spies. Mm-hmm. And on the cover art, they look like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Okay, with they back to back and the guns in both hands. Mm-hmm. Well, we know how that goes. Well, they fight all through that movie.
Oh, yeah.
They fight each other. They fight everybody.
I mean, they even threw some time in there to argue.
Exactly. So that's the part of that makes Mr. and Mrs. Smith such an entertaining film. It's like you just see a lot of action. So that's another issue that I have with it. On top of when they do give you these breadcrumbs to try to build the and layer the character, they don't leave much suspense between them giving you a breadcrumb and then telling you what the breadcrumb is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like right away. It's like boom, boom. So I feel like if they spaced it out and then put action in between of them giving you a question mark and then giving you a resolution.
Yeah.
I mean, it would just...
It could be better.
It could be better. You know what I mean? So, it's probably too many spoilers, but like we said, screw it. If you haven't watched it, watch it.
I'm a person, you can give me a spoiler, I'm still going to be just as excited to see it.
Exactly.
So, hopefully y'all guys are the type.
Yeah.
That's
all I have for it.
In addition to what she said, just round back to when I asked that question, do they retrieve the little Asha girl?
Yeah.
And I said that routes you to Manticore, because we come to find out this is her damn grandma that kidnapped her.
Yep.
So, and used her as leverage to make them do what she needed them to do in this episode. So yep. That's wild to me.
And the other question is Kane going to choose to be Mason or Kyle?
Mm-hmm.
Because he has two loves of his life right now. He remembered that he was completely head over heels for Nadia, but Kyle still loves this other lady.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to make a choice. So that being said, y'all need to tune in to Citadel. Make sure y'all all the way caught up. We're going to post our pros and cons. Hit the comments. Let us know what you think about it. Let us know if you agree or disagree, if you had anything more to add. Because we'll love to keep the conversation going. Because mm-hmm. by the end of this season, we're going to give you a final recap. Because I'm sure we're going to have about 4 more episodes. By the end of the season, we'll give you a final recap. And we'll completely fill in the holes. Answer the questions. Hopefully our questions mm-hmm. will be answered.
Hopefully.
And then, so we gave y'all a nice recap to get you caught up to episode 6.
So, be blessed.
Be blessed. Our next one is going to conclude and give y'all the last 4 episodes. And then conclude the entire series. Oh, do you want to drop that we got alerted to a spy universe?
So, which is retarded in a way, excuse me, it's just for a writing in a show, it's just retarded for the writing. Like, you are going to give us all of this, but we're going to go into a spy verse in 2024 off of this show.
So they're going to spin off, they gave us a teaser.
Like, so that's crazy, but I had other factors for episode 6, but yes, they're going to do a spinoff for a Spyverse from Citadel, and we've in episode 6 with no understanding of other shit.
Exactly.
So I feel like people are happy about the action
mm-hmm.
and the all this high tech.
Yeah.
But I feel like the main part of the story and what is going on here is being missed.
Mm-hmm.
Because in episode 6, we got some of the most awesome fighting, shooting,
yeah,
technology.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that we've pretty much gotten this entire
very high tech.
So obviously, the little Asha girl, she was used as leverage. So this nuclear mission. Okay, they obviously accomplished that, right? So we got the grandmother, who is one of the heads of the Manticore, using Asha, who at the time, before we even got into any of this, was just known as Nadia's daughter. And then we come to the conclusion that is Nadia and Mason Kane's daughter. And then now we're just finding out this is her grandmother, who sent them on a nuclear mission using her as leverage to get nuclear, what was it, warheads and some other shit, right? So in this scene of them completing this mission, I wanted to give a little bit of, applause to the black character, Carter Spence. Okay? He's an agent with Citadel, and he was a part of this mission. And we noted how he was encouraging and helping both agents at the same time. We had Nadi over here dying at, 302 BPMs because her temperature got raised. And then we had Mason Kane over here trying to get his skill back so he didn't get choked the fuck out. Okay? And he did phenomenal with that. He was coaching, engaging, and leading that scene in a good part of the episode. He kept both agents alive. Could he have done more, or are we satisfied with this depiction and light given to Mr. Carter Spence, considering? Okay? So we got a woman of color, minority, and we got another Carter Spence. And I think those are the only two that I've seen thus far.
Yeah.
Oh, and we got the black woman that's at Citadel. Considering how they're shedding the light on Nadia, and then we have Carter Spence. And this is where we're actually able to see him get busy.
Yeah.
Because we've only seen him ever in the lab at a computer or doing this and that.
Yeah.
But he's been one smart agent throughout this whole show with little bits and pieces they give us.
Yeah. Now, and not just smart physical. He scaled that dang old wall, you know, so he know what he doing. See, these are all, he works for Citadel too. You have to be the best of the best of the best of the best to work for Citadel. And he worked from, you know, what we saw in the last 4 to 5 episodes in a IT capacity, but actually, as we know, just with CIA and FBI, just because you work at the computer don't mean that you can't get outside and get busy.
Don't mean you can't
you
get
went
done.
Through the same the training camp that everybody else did. You know what I mean? You just happen to be a tech brain and you see numbers. So he was able to, you know, see
he
numbers.
Was prepared.
And scale the wall and snipe shoot and be able to be in their headset coaching two players.
I mean,
going through two different obstacle courses at the same time.
The first time we saw him outside, they made sure they shine that light very well.
He really liked the like the Charlie's Angels type dude. Like he Charlie, like he was really pulling the plays.
And he was not afraid but aware.
Yeah.
And that is a big part of just this goes across the board. You have to be aware. We've seen him in the train with a situation where Nadia was, you know, popping niggas left and right, and we didn't even see him flinch.
Yeah.
He continued to go about his business and do what he did, and there we go.
Yeah.
And so I like that. I appreciate that from them. And that ties me to how about the action in this show? Okay. Are we excited about the way they execute what we think a spy would fight like, the verbiage and communications exchanging, and the way they dress? Okay, so is this a con, pro? How are we feeling about that? I feel like this is the most action. I mean, we had sniping, we had physical combat, we had time is of the essence, you know, Nadia's life hanging in the balance.
Yeah.
Are we going to lose both agents? We have Mason fucking catching Asha from a fall.
I mean, they really pressed go on this one. They really said they gave us everything that you want in the most dramatic, intense spy thriller action scene, whatever you want, they gave us literally a piece of everything.
And everybody
was
active. Every agent was active.
But why does it take so much? We are introduced to that in episode one, where like soon's off in the beginning, they fighting. Okay,
it's
action. Boom, they fighting.
It's speaking about 6, 7, 8 different languages. Yeah. So they know how to grab you.
They know how to grab you.
And
they just don't do it enough. They just don't do. That's the overall con to this show, I think. What they do great, they execute flawlessly. They just don't do it enough.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like what other sport we love? We love battle rap, right? So as a battle rapper, our favorite battlers understand how to execute and grab my attention is you got to be able to punch and do things a lot through that round. Just don't give me the high moments here and there. Keep me on. If you're going to put a battery in my back, press the gas. You know what I mean?
Let's
so
go.
They do a good job at giving you the gas. They just take their foot off the gas and want to fill it in with drama. Excuse me. More action, please. The world is dramatic enough.
Enough.
What we don't have enough of is just, you know, wholesome, carefree ass kicking. You feel me? Just get some people out there and get the fire.
So we give that a pro. That was a great pro
that
of
was a
this
great
show.
Pro. Yeah.
And I felt like the way that I felt like how everything ticked off one mm-hmm. by one mm-hmm. from him sniping old dude, little girl falling, her doing on the ground, pop, mm-hmm. pop. I mean, everybody was in sync.
Yeah.
Everybody was on sync. You can't be, I mean, thank you.
And I think this is the best episode to really see all of their skills shine at one time. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like going to the car show and you get to see every manufacturer's mm-hmm. new car at one time. You ain't got to go to 5911 dealerships.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a way for us to see that all the main characters do what they do best.
Yes.
Also, we saw Nadia being the leader and the control yes. on that, because she was the one actually who called the shot. She called mm-hmm. the play, take the shot. And then it was just a domino effect from there.
Mason was only a factor because he the one that triggered the war. Like, he already placed himself, put a failsafe on those warheads a long time ago. That was the only reason why he was a factor.
Exactly. Otherwise, it would have been obvious. He would have been playing backup.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Facts. So and let's underline, we know writing. Okay? That's the thing. It's not coming from a place of what we, only what we want to see, but also the part that we know writing. And that makes us, that gives us great conversation, okay, to be able to take a look at a show and say, or wow, we would have never thought of it. Like The Consultant. That's gonna play us for a while on how that even came together, because they did really great with that. If you could keep me lost for a while, but I'm always thinking and always trying to predict, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
So I was going to close out with my thoughts about what would you do differently in episode 6. I gave my thoughts, but if you wanted to lead, that is cool beans too.
I don't have anything in episode 6 per se, but just overall, the mm-hmm. show is what I just said. I would just add more action and kind of reduce the amount of dramatization. I would just go right to the fact of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
There are moments in the show where somebody is asked a question to define something. Okay, mm-hmm. what is that mission? So instead of the person just simply answering the mission and us taking back to the past where we're like put in the place where they're going through with the mission, almost like that person is narrating something,
mm-hmm.
we get placed back to the very point where that person received the instruction of the mission.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, we don't have to go back there. If we're going to go back and pass, let's go back to when he's actually doing the mission, he or she, or when they're actually acting that thing out versus them being receiving orders. Yeah. Like, I just think it's just kind of slow in that sense. So overall, I would reduce the amount of the drama and replace that with the actual action of it.
Because they're giving us a boom, boom, all over the place type of thing, like a whack-a-mole.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing horrible about that, but at the same time, so is our point of view going to be like a whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
Because that's how you're leading it. So they definitely have to get some better. All these shows that seem to be coming about are doing all this past, present, future shit.
Yeah.
And not everybody's nailing it. If you're going to do a past, present, some things are
necessary.
And some things are just unnecessary.
You're just doing it just because.
Just to do it. And everybody's trying to grab a hold on how to execute the past, present, and future. When really, some shit you can just tie in like that.
Yeah.
And let that be. So I agree with her thoughts as far as overall for the show. My thoughts as far as episode 6, I felt that this episode was faster than some of the other episodes, which you have noted. I would have allowed the retrieval of all of Mason's memories to give distance between him and Kyle Conroy's wife, because I can't remember her name for shit.
Yeah.
And Nadia. Okay, mm-hmm. like she said, love interest, okay? The woman you're supposed to be with, the woman you love, all that. So Kyle Conroy's wife, obviously, this is another part of him that he did not, you know, this is who he was for 8 years, and he developed a wife. And then you have Nadia. So he got all his memories back in this episode. I would have, instead of him turning around hugging the Kyle Conroy wife, I would have allowed it for him to say, I don't know, and walk past her.
Mm-hmm.
And tell her that he needs time to think. Yeah. And they did the scene. We both love the scene where they chose to execute this. And it made it seem like Nadia was the individual that he was about to turn to.
Mm-hmm.
So they did very well with that. But I would have wanted it to be where, you know what? I got to give both of you space, because my memories have just shown me that I can't trust you. And I can't trust you.
And I can't trust me, more importantly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what I would have allowed.
Yeah.
And I said, why? Because him retrieving every bit of his actions and course of events would made him not want to look either woman in the eye. Because the uncertainty of himself makes it an uncertainty of the women he has from his memories.
There we go.
From the pain, the lies, no one actually knowing anyone. A love lost. It would have also been more realistic to tie Mason and Dahlia Archer, Manticore Head, into each other in his memories better. It, for me, gives a negative to this character and this long-lost mother, when she has never, most certainly in the present, gave any mothery nurturing vibes. To the point she used Asha's leverage. Don't use the present entirely to link them from a memory retrieval, since we are in episode 6. And never in any episodes, Dahlia never gave, that's my boy, that's my son. That's somebody close to me. And I concluded with, I know story writing and tying characters, especially with deeper meaning, cannot just smack you in the face in episode 6. Later, with no expressive symbolic conversations, nothing to say, hey, pay attention.
Yeah.
The only thing that they made a point to pay attention to Dahlia for is because she was the head of Manticore.
That was it. That was her it.
And that's cute. But if you let a motherfucker know that they're going up against their parent, that's going to take a whole other... I mean, there's nothing wrong with giving us that.
Yeah.
Because then you can continue the character build on how they became that way.
On, like, conversely, to highlight the fact that they missed a step there, they did that when they showed us that all along Mason knew that he had a daughter with Nadia. They just told us, with telling him that he always knew. The whole time they had us believing that he didn't know until, episode 5. Okay, so episode 6 is the rescue of his daughter, but he just really knew that he had one in 5. But we found out in episode 6 that he knew all along.
All along.
Nadia didn't know that he knew.
Knew.
No one else knew that he knew besides him and this other, his boss at Citadel.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, if that was in him all along, why wouldn't him... knowing that this is his mother all along, because he knew that they just didn't tell us that he knew, but he knew. Thanks. Because when they had this moment, he said, I said that I was gonna need you, you know what I mean, but I was gonna ask you, if I had this one card, I was gonna have to pull this I need you card at a very wise moment.
Yeah, favor.
And this is that moment, because you was only gonna give me one favor.
Yeah.
Well, he already knew that's my mama. But we ain't mother and son. That's just a woman who birthed me.
That's it. We share blood, that's it.
We share blood, that's it. So I got this favor for you, Ma. Okay? I'm going to need you to go ahead and show me some love on that one. And so she said, and I will. For you, I will. You know what I mean? I got you. No questions asked. I got you, right? So they showed us that, but then they didn't connect the dots with that. Like you said, all of his memories are coming back. Why wouldn't they give us a flash of just her, even if it's a split second?
Just a split second,
just to be like, oh, wait a minute. He saw her. Why would he see her in his memories? Does that mean?
The thing about playing with the audience and them having fun with your show is you do give them little crumbs.
You have to.
To generate a conversation between them.
Yeah.
And one thing we do is we talk about shows.
Yeah.
And we give our points of views because, one, we got interesting, great fucking points of views. And then, two, because, hey, let's rap. So if you're creating a show and something so sophisticated and dope as this, why would you just run it like nobody knows nothing?
Be smart.
And leave us out here in the wind to where we feel like, hey, this is a con. It's a con because you can still make a great show and give a crumb here and there. May, you know what I think? Or that may. You want that to be generated because some people may not want to get played around like this. They may not want to wait to episode 6. We're the type where, you know, hey, if it ain't grabbing on the play, we don't continue. So you at least want to give some type of crumb to say, hey, these people you want to factor, not just because they're main characters.
Yeah.
Not just because it's a beef.
Yeah.
You know? Agreed. So it ended my thoughts with, why is Mason so expendable to Dahlia being who he is to her? Now, I get a little bit of their background just a tad. But still, everything she's done since the moment this woman has came into the picture has been fuck him and everything Citadel. Not knowing until this episode that he's the reason why she has all the information she has.
Mm-hmm.
So why is he so expendable to you?
Yep. It's another question that we have.
Going into episode 7.
So.
I'm concluded on mine.
Okay, well, there's that.
So, go check out Citadel on Prime. Make sure you really get into it. If you have not been following, go do that. This is from our point of view, so please do share. Like Naj said, let us know what you think. We'll drop a poll, all that good stuff. Interact, because the more you interact, the more we know who's paying attention and who wants more of this type of content. But we enjoy it nonetheless. Is there anything you want to close out with?
Yeah, I'm just going to close with giving everybody some highlights on what we got going on. Obviously, if you've been tapped into Free Your Lens, we have some new drops at FYLZ.store. So get tapped in and join our text club, which are members-only society hosted at FYLZ Society. So you definitely want to make sure you join in on the movement because it's about to go up. So you can get free gifts, free prizes, birthday club, free merchandise, plus, you know, savings, discount codes, premium drops, access to all this dope shit. So you got all type of stuff. On top of that, new music out by Nasty Naj, Naja Lee. So go ahead and hop on anywhere you get your streaming, Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, all that good stuff. Check out my latest song, Sheesh. You know how to spell that. It's just sheesh. You know what I'm saying? But go to Naja Lee, anywhere you stream, play that. Press play on that Not-For-Profit Volume 2, Volume 1. That's out. We got more music dropping. She Spirit got some fire that's dropped right here on JTTVP.
We coming.
If you don't know who She Spirit is, you bugging. But you do know because you listen to the podcast.
Hey,
so there
the
we
female
go.
Shakespearean.
Let's go.
Make sure you plan at Auto Price. Make sure you plan Rain. We got Rain. More coming. Okay? Make sure when you out there streaming at Sheesh, make sure you send a screenshot, no matter what your streaming platform is. Send it to the Just Testing the Vibes Instagram. All that information is already out there. And we'll make sure everybody gets their shine. You know, thanks for the support. Thanks for the love. Yeah. But most importantly, go tune into some real nigga music.
Yeah, okay? Facts.
Make sure you support. Make sure you stick to it. We're not going nowhere.
If you subscribe to the podcast, appreciate you. If you haven't, hit the link in the bio. Go ahead and subscribe to the podcast because we will continue to drop exclusive content only for subscribers. If you do go to the website, like she said, man, you like what you see, go ahead and take a screenshot and share it. Put the link in there. Mm-hmm. Let everybody else know that you like what you see and send your peoples over. Mm-hmm. Same with FYLZ.store. You like what you see, even if you ain't buying right now, go ahead and share the love anyway. Mm-hmm. Screenshot, put the link in, say, yo, go cop that, you know what I'm saying? When you join FYLZ Society, obviously you get the 10% off, son.
So if you can't
buy right now, just go ahead and get that 10% off, and that'll go ahead and entice you to get something for the low. We got bags, tote bags that are new to the season. Big bag, you hear me? We got stuff on sale. We got premium drops coming, so... Mm. Oh, and we walking into June. It's Memorial Day, so we got some fire stuff dropping in June. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Free Your Lens. That's all we rocking with. Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, but mainly Instagram. So everywhere, if you need to find us, hit our Instagram. Mm-hmm. Every link that we got is right there.
In the bio.
JTTVP podcast. All the links are right there. So tap into that. Tap into the House of Tessa. And we locked and loaded season.
We got another book coming. I mean, all types of shit is happening.
All types
of
shit.
So just cause whatever is whatever, we ain't stopped moving.
Let's go.
So thank you. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you love this episode. And we'll check you back on the next one.
Let's go.
Welcome.